Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
From Serial Productions and the New York Times, this is The Improvement Association.
Chapter 3, The Ballad of the Nursing Home Ballots. I've been talking to Horace for 2 years or more. And like any relationship, it goes through its warmer periods and its colder ones. Horace is moody. Sometimes he's expansive, beginning his answers with, "Here's what you have to understand about Bladen County." Sometimes he seems resentful and answers me short.
"Where's the evidence?"
In this one conversation, I was telling Horace that a lot of people, Republicans, whenever I'd bring up the cheating accusations against McRae Dowless, their rebuttal was usually, whatever McRae might have done, the Bladen Pack had been doing it way longer and worse.
"Okay, now, if that's their defense, where is the evidence? Because, oh, the evidence is we're black and they're white. If you're white, you're right. That's bullshit. Where is the evidence?"
This conversation, Horace was particularly testy with me because I was asking about a particularly persistent allegation, different from the other stuff I'd heard, bigger. It had to do with absentee ballots from residents in a nursing home, that the PAC had somehow stolen votes from vulnerable black voters there.
"Well, they talk about these nursing home ballots from
2010. That's a lie. That's all a lie. Where are they?"
"I don't know. I don't know. I've been trying to find
Where are them. They?
I don't know."
I sound like that, a little desperate, because I've been trying to hunt down these ballots for months. For some people in Bladen County, white Republicans mainly, these nursing home ballots are their origin story for how Bladen County became infamous, why it became the national poster child for election fraud. All over Bladen County, if you ask who's really been cheating in elections here, where did this all begin? Someone will inevitably start strumming their guitar and singing the ballad of the nursing home. Every rendition of the story ends the same way. Nothing was ever done. No one looked into it. The state didn't care. Or if they did look into it, they covered up what they found. "You can't touch them precious things," someone said to me once about the PAC, which I took to mean black people. "You'll get called a racist if you hold them accountable," other people in the county have said to me. That belief that the PAC never gets punished and it's unfair runs just as deep as the suspicion that the PAC must be cheating. I felt like getting to the bottom of these nursing home ballots would be like finding the power source of the electrical grid of suspicion in Bladen. And it kind of is like that, because this handful of nursing home ballots, fewer than 10, they're supercharged. They energize other later allegations against the PAC. They make them more believable. But also, the story of these ballots, well, the story of chasing them down, it's like one of those answers that I told you Cogdale always gives, where en route to the answer, you get a tour of the whole place. You see what's really behind all the talk of cheating in Bladen County. From Serial Productions, I'm Zoe Chase, and this is The Improvement Association, a true story about election fraud. I first heard about the nursing home allegation at Ray Britt's furniture store, Ray's Furniture and Jewelry Liquidators. It's in the center of town, a place for local power brokers to gossip or buy a bedroom set. Ray himself is sort of the center of Republican politics in Bladen, always in the mix. He's currently a county commissioner, formerly on the Board of Elections, white, Republican. You want to know about elections in Bladen County? You better go talk to Ray Britt, is what I was told over and over. So I went to see him.
"You need to see Ray, don't you?"
"If he's here, yeah."
At the store, it's mostly leather couches and recliners, but no Ray Britt. In order to find him,
and to walk down the rows of sofas and tables and chairs, which I couldn't help feeling was a power move, this pilgrimage all the way down the long aisle to see the Wizard of Oz. I finally found him, way in the back behind a jewelry counter, next to a tall shelf of boots for shoe repair.
What can I do for you?
Hi, remember me? I'm Zoe. Nice to see you.
What can I do for you?
Well, this was the day after the indictments came out, charging McRae Dowless with perjury and election fraud crimes. And I got straight to the point.
Well, but I mean, when you read the indictments, did you think to yourself, oh, okay, I guess McRae did do some stuff wrong?
No, I hadn't even paid no attention to any of it.
Really? You didn't read them?
No, because I know why this transpired and happened.
And then Ray pivoted away from McRae.
Where's some of the evidence that we're concerned about where it may be today? Let's talk about ballots that was in the safe that we knew that an investigator lied in front of Mr. John David and said,
Wait, I don't know what you're talking about.
No. Yeah, there's a lot that the people don't know that, yes, we won't tell.
The ballots Ray was talking about here were the nursing home ballots. So it took a few more conversations with him to get the whole story. At maybe our second or third meeting, I managed to wheedle him out from behind the counter, which seems a little momentous.
That's nice.
He motions me to sit, and he tells me the story of the nursing home ballots. It starts a decade ago, with Horace and the PAC launching a big absentee ballot Get Out the Vote campaign to help elect the first black sheriff in Bladen County. That same election, Horace says, kicked off all the finger-pointing. So, about 2 weeks before Election Day, 2010, someone comes into Ray's furniture store.
So, somebody comes into the store, and what happens?
We had a pastor come into the store, and I knew him, Mr. Kinsey Barrow, fine man. And he come in, and he said, I got a complaint.
Ray Britt was on the county elections board at the time, so it made sense to come to him.
He said there's people voting in the nursing home hadn't known a family member in years. And I said, I appreciate you.
Apparently, Kinsey Barrow, while visiting the nursing home, had seen some absentee ballot envelopes about to be mailed. And they were from people in the nursing home that he knew, who he didn't think would be capable of making their own choices. People who might not know who the president is or what day it is. And he was like, I think someone is using these elderly people, filling out ballots in their name. The assumption was that these addled voters, notably mostly black voters, were being used to rack up votes for the black candidate for sheriff, Prentice Benston. Ray passed this complaint to the director of the County Board of Elections, who passed it up to the State Board of Elections. And then they waited.
We asked and asked and asked, and time went on and on and on.
Nothing was ever done, Ray says. No response.
If you had an inquiry or a concern from a nursing home, where would you start your investigation? Would you not start it at the nursing home? The nursing home hasn't heard or seen anyone in reference to that. With that being said, I rest my case on that because it's just one lie right after another lie.
Ray won't say whom he's accusing in this story. He doesn't say the words Bladen Improvement Pack, but Ray is definitely talking about the pack. When I ask him directly, do you think any of this had to do with the Bladen Improvement Association? He says, oh, no question about it. Other people in Bladen also mentioned the pack and nursing home ballots to me and repeated the idea that it hadn't been investigated. Now, just as if you tried to, like, fact-check an old folk song, the ballot of the nursing home ballots starts to fall apart pretty quickly once I look into it. First of all, had it been investigated?
Okay, did you ever hear anything about nursing home ballots? Nursing home ballot complaint.
Lord, yes.
I called the state elections investigator from back then, which is a job in North Carolina and a hard job, it sounds like. From 2003 to 2018, when just about any election fraud allegation made it to the state level, this guy Marshall Tudor, he was the guy who looked into it. He has a clear memory of the nursing home ballots allegation from the 2010 sheriff's race in Bladen County.
And I have been asked this many times because Britt and some of that crowd down there keeps bringing it up, that I did nothing related to their allegations of the rest home that I didn't even investigate it. I did thoroughly.
Marshall Tudor says he remembers getting the tip about the ballots and investigating it pretty extensively, trying to find out, were these voters coerced or manipulated? Did their families know they'd voted?
I talked to staff at the nursing home in question, and I could find nothing whatsoever that was provable that anything went wrong. And I found not one family member of any of those people that was upset or claimed that something was wrong.
I got a box of Marshall's notes from his investigations back then, and also found an email Marshall wrote to his boss about his investigation, talking to staff, etc. I asked Marshall if the PAC had been involved in this incident at the nursing home. He answered no, they were not. But an elections investigator is not some impartial god everyone agrees on. He's just a man, like other men, with biases and sympathies. And I know Ray Britt doesn't trust Marshall Tudor. Ray doesn't trust the whole state board of elections, thinks they're biased against Republicans. So I knew Ray wouldn't believe Marshall just saying there was no there there. I needed more than Marshall's word for it. And I finally found the actual ballots in question, or the ballot envelopes, rather, because ballots themselves are secret. I found them, a small stack, locked in a safe at the County Board of Elections in a mislabeled file. I took all the envelopes over to Kinsey Barrow, the pastor who'd made the initial complaint at Ray's store.
Are you Mr. Barrow?
And he confirmed, yes, these were the ballot envelopes he was talking about. So together we looked to see who helped these people vote, who signed as a witness on the ballots. I asked Kinsey, was it someone from the Bladen Improvement PAC? Well, not as far as Kinsey knew. He did recognize the name of the woman who signed as a witness. It was a person who worked at the nursing home. She's a Black woman, but Kinsey said he had no idea if she was with the PAC, actually. She still works at the nursing home, so then I went over there to ask her. She told me she did not want to talk about this, but I got in one question before she shut the door. When you signed those ballots, were you working for the Bladen Improvement Association PAC? She looked genuinely confused and didn't seem to know what that was. Ray, though, insists she was working for the PAC. So I checked the payroll for the PAC in 2010, which is generally pretty scrupulous, and she wasn't listed. Various members of the PAC all denied separately knowing who she was. It is technically illegal for nursing home staff to assist residents with ballots. But 10 years ago, Marshall Tudor talked to nursing home staff and determined that this woman had made an honest mistake. She was trying to help people vote who wanted to vote. The most positive thing coming out of this situation, Marshall wrote in an email to his boss detailing the investigation, is that the staff member who witnessed the ballots and the nursing home administrator have, quote, both told me going forward, things such as this will not happen again, because they're more informed on what can be done for a resident related to voting and what cannot be done. Conclusion, what happened at the nursing home did not involve the PAC, was not a big deal, and not something that could or should be prosecuted, Marshall believed, and still believes. So he moved on. Which doesn't mean nobody cheated in the sheriff's race. That's after the break.
Tumi has a soft side. Discover their new Azra bag collection in its pillowy pleats, satin finish, and crescent shape. Azra is the bag to carry for your 9-to-5 and your 5-to-9 plans that follow. Versatility, after all, is Tumi's signature. Shop the full Azra collection on Tumi.com or at a Tumi store near you.
This is A.O. Scott. I'm a critic at the New York Times. What I do and what the other critics here do is part of the same project that all of the journalists at the New York Times work on every day to give you clarity and perspective and, above all, a deeper understanding of the world. When you subscribe to the New York Times, it's not just here are the headlines, but here's the way everything fits together. If you'd like to subscribe, please go to nytimes.com/subscribe.
Thank you.
When I was looking through Marshall Tudor's notes and emails about his investigations, it seemed like every other week there was an email to his bosses. Need the van to go to Bladen County, and we're headed to Bladen County today.
Number one destination, shall we say, over the years.
The notes were a chronicle of years Marshall spent following up on a steady stream of accusations of someone cheating down there. In the 2010 sheriff's race, Marshall says, that was a real bruiser.
I'm telling you, I couldn't put a number on the people that I interviewed down there. I mean, it was just constantly interviewing and picking up tips. It was continuous.
Most of the stuff he was following up on was fairly minor. Complaints that sheriff's deputies were campaigning on the clock or using county cars to put up signs. And of course, vote buying.
Everybody is vote buying.
Everybody.
Marshall says that's a common accusation directed at the Improvement Association PAC. Because the PAC is powerful, Marshall says, their endorsement's powerful. So whichever candidate the PAC doesn't endorse, that candidate or that candidate's supporters will accuse the PAC of vote buying. So I asked him, well, is it ever true? Had he ever found cheating by the PAC? Vote buying or something else? And Marshall says no.
I never saw.
They didn't cheat. In fact, he says, Horace, president of the PAC, called him all the time, asking if they were doing things right, by the book. They had made mistakes. There were times Marshall would come to them with irregularities. For example, the PAC's sample ballot. Maybe it wasn't clearly identified as being from the PAC, which is required. But he said they'd correct stuff like that quickly, without a fuss.
That's just an example of working with them to make sure that they were following the letter of the law because they were under the microscope, to say the least.
That 2010 sheriff's race, how vicious it was. Marshall Tudor said it reminded him of the old South. Black versus white. In this case, fighting for the most powerful position in the county, which was partly what accounted for all these warrantless accusations of cheating. But the underlying ugliness, the racism, he says he saw that clearly in this other case he investigated back then, a case nobody really talks about, but that still upsets him.
Now, I will say, in the Bladen County situation, I did have a very good case, and that was on people, and I'll be specific here, it was white people who were well thought of in the black community, going to black citizens who had received an absentee ballot and picking up those ballots and throwing them away. I had statements by the black citizens that so-and-so came and we trust her. And this, that, and the other. And these ballots never got to the Board of Elections.
Marshall took statements from four voters. Here's what he was told. At least two white women were going around knocking on voters' doors. Black voters, mostly elderly. One of the women was a probation officer, the other a former narcotics investigator. Marshall found, during his investigation, that they both supported the white candidate for sheriff in Bladen that year. The voters Marshall interviewed told him they intended to vote for the black candidate, Prentice Benston. But one of the voters told Marshall that one of the women brought him a completed ballot, already sealed, and he signed it. Two voters Marshall interviewed said they'd marked their ballots themselves for Prentice Benston and had sealed them. They told Marshall that the white women had picked up the sealed envelopes with the ballots, but Marshall found during his investigation that the ballots never made it to the Board of Elections, so their votes for Prentice Benston weren't counted. Taking someone's ballot, if you're not a family member, that's already illegal in North Carolina. Like picking it up, taking it to the Board of Elections, even if you didn't tamper with it at all, that's illegal. But throwing away ballots? That was, to Marshall Tudor, the most serious kind of election crime. And that's what Marshall believed was happening, based on the totality of his investigation. In emails at the time, Marshall's boss said there appeared to be numerous felony violations. Talking to Marshall Tudor and another investigator now, They both think there was a conspiracy at work to target vulnerable Black voters. That's the word they use, conspiracy. Here were people who'd intended to vote for someone, and their intention was deliberately thwarted. And yet,
in the end, all the prosecutors and the attorney general's office said that the statements from the Black citizens were hard to prove, and the Black citizens were not educated, and they were old, and so they didn't think they would stand up in court. So that was where I was most disappointed.
We reached out to the two women who allegedly picked up the ballots, and they declined to talk. Most of the voters who Marshall talked to are dead. We called a relative of one of them and startled her while she was at the grocery store. She said she'd blocked the incident out and moved on, didn't want to talk about it. She still seemed upset about it. This is the kind of story that I think should take top billing in the extensive election lore of Bladen County. Super serious allegation, possibly a cynical disenfranchisement scheme, checked out by authorities, found by those authorities to have merit, run up the chain to more investigating authorities who also find it as merit. And then nothing. No prosecution, no nothing. So, I went back to the furniture store to talk to Ray Britt, to see if I could square what he'd been telling me with everything that I knew now. What about this other investigation? The white women who might have thrown out votes for Prentice Benston?
Does that sound familiar to you at all?
Never heard of such. Never heard anything.
After a minute or so, he did remember that other case, though. Right. Well, maybe he was confusing the nursing home story with this story, melding them into one. Elderly Black voters, someone taking advantage of them with absentee ballots.
So are we talking about two different things or the same thing?
I would think from what you're saying, no, this is an entirely different incident.
Ray didn't buy my theory at all that he'd conflated the two. I told him about talking to Marshall Tudor and looking at his notes. Told him Marshall Tudor did look into the nursing home ballots. But like I said, Ray doesn't trust Marshall. For that matter, Ray doesn't trust me. Like a lot of people in Bladen and elsewhere, he kind of hates the media because too biased. He's accused me of being a liberal before. And now, here I am standing in front of Ray saying, that fraud story you keep telling me, the ballot of the nursing home ballots, about how the PAC is cheating, I'm not finding evidence of the Bladen Improvement PAC doing anything wrong. Which, in his book, I think, means I'm just not looking right because I have my own agenda too. This conversation devolves into a back and forth of me begging him for evidence to back up his claim and him telling me there is much more that he knows about all this that unfortunately he cannot divulge. Which might sound familiar. It's very voter fraud discourse of the moment. Sure, you're not seeing the evidence today, but just wait. There's more. It's definitely there.
I know a little more about it than what I want to tell you because I've talked to folks at the nursing home myself. I guess I should feel free to be able to talk about something that they said was never nothing there. But I still choose not to do so because I think it's still something that needs to be addressed.
My impression has always been that, you know, McRae Dowless was accused of some things, but that some people in the county who I've spoken to, and you're one of them, have been like, what's been going on in this county with Bladen County Improvement Association has been way worse and way bigger. And I've been trying to look for evidence to back that up, you know, for months now. I'm still looking. Can you help me with that at all?
You'll probably keep on looking.
Why?
We just addressed some of the issues, did we not?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is I tried to look to back that up because I was like, let me see what this nursing home fraud is that Mr. Britt's talking about. And then when I get the emails, I see it's not Bladen County Improvement, it's somebody else. So that's why I came back to you. Is that the investigation? You're saying, no, it's something else. So I'm like, what? Show me something. I want to see it. You know?
Mm-hmm. Time will tell. Yep. Time will tell.
Wow. How am I going to find out about it?
You may not ever. But some of us know.
But why won't you tell? I guess is my question. Why won't you just explain it to me so that, I don't know, just so I can see the full picture? Because I still feel like I'm squinting a little bit.
Keep squinting. Sometimes you squint, you can focus a little better.
What happens if I squint at Ray? Squinting at Ray, I see someone very motivated to throw suspicion way off the Republican Party and onto the Democrats. Ray says, no way. But what I see is, Ray Britt isn't simply a concerned county commissioner. Ray's got a dog in this fight, not just a partisan one. It's personal. Ray's a big booster of McCray Dowless. He's hired McCray before for one of his county commissioner campaigns. In 2017, Ray's the guy who introduced McCray Dowless to Mark Harris, the Republican congressman McCray allegedly cheated for. They all met in Ray's Furniture Liquidators a year before the campaign started. Ray went and bailed McCray out of jail after McCray was arrested for his alleged role in the scandal. The money for bail was paid for by another Republican benefactor in the county, but Ray drove McCray home. None of that is wrong. Ray is friends with McCray and points out every time I talk to him that McCray has not been convicted, only indicted. It's just that for a guy who seems pretty interested in talking about election cheating, he doesn't seem very interested in talking about the evidence of McCray's operation. When I do ask Ray about McCray, all he says is, if McCray did something wrong, he should apologize, holding his hands up like, how would I know? Before returning yet again to the story of the nursing home ballots and the PAC. In his heart, Ray might believe the PAC is very guilty. But I also think the reason he's always telling the story of the nursing home is because that's his way of defending McCray and deflecting attention from the Republicans. And I believe this because Ray has not just been telling the nursing home ballot story to me in his furniture store.
North Carolina's 9th Congressional District race is in limbo because of irregularities with absentee ballots.
This is a TV news story from back in 2018, the height of the frenzy around the 2018 congressional election and the allegations of massive fraud. And there are reporters crawling all over Bladen County trying to understand how this little rural place managed to steal a federal congressional election. One of them was a reporter from Charlotte named Nick Oxner. And one night, Nick scored a huge get of an interview with McCray Dowless himself, Ray Britt, and another local Republican. Now, Ray says Nick first brought up the 2010 nursing home ballots to him. Nick says, no. The whole reason he was in Bladen was to hear what had gone on in the 2018 race. That's what he wanted to know about. But he says Ray had a different story to tell about fraud that had been going on for years, but no one ever investigated it. Nick went on TV that night.
Yeah, Paul, specifically those concerns in 2010 centered on a block of votes that were cast from a nursing home. Those concerns were raised by a man named Ray Britt. Today, he tells me that all of today's problems and uncertainty may not have happened had investigators taken his concerns seriously 8 years ago.
Your citizens look for you to be accountable for them because they're aware of these things going on, but you're doing your job and you submit it to no avail.
Nick went through the same ballot envelopes I did.
We obtained these documents, which were still in a safe at the Bladen County Board of Elections Wednesday. Washoe County staff sent materials to the state, but Britt says nothing was ever done.
And all these things are reported.
Nick did get a statement from the State Board of Elections, which basically said, that was then, this is now. Marshall Tudor doesn't work here anymore, so we don't know what happened with that. Which was weak and damaging. It left Ray's accusation just as open-ended as it was when Ray made it, and therefore just as incendiary. Remember, this was an allegation that had been checked out and was not substantiated. And here was the state not saying that. So the story Ray's telling, there's cheating all over the place, and yet the state just cracks down on McCray, that gets unchallenged. At the end of the segment, Nick tees Ray up for the takeaway.
Do you think some of this could have been prevented had the state board started investigating 8 years ago when you first tried to sound the alarm?
Oh, without a doubt.
Here's what I make of this. The ballot of the nursing home ballots. It functions as cover fire for the Republicans, dealing with allegations of ballot tampering on their side. The nursing home story got traction right when a different election fraud story about McRae Dowless was all over the news. I don't think that's a coincidence. I know a lot of people listening to this podcast now probably think it's obvious that the PAC doesn't cheat, that it's either cynical politics or general racism, and that's why people point their fingers at the PAC. But I also know not all of you listening think that, especially if you live in Bladen County. You think I haven't dug far enough, haven't squinted hard enough, and probably that my own biases get in the way. Just like a big portion of the country thinks the election was stolen from Trump, a big portion of Bladen County thinks the PAC cheats. In Bladen's case, maybe the majority of people think that. And a lot of people in the state, too. But I ran down everything that I could find, not just the nursing home story, every single official complaint I could get my hands on, and some unofficial ones, too, from 2010 all the way up to 2018. I had to. And here's what I can tell you real quick. 2010, we already talked about that one. No PAC cheating. 2012, allegation of vote buying. Supposedly, Cogdale, one of the members of the PAC, was offering wine to voters. It was investigated, not substantiated. Plus another nursing home allegation regarding a single ballot. Dismissed. 2016, fishy handwriting on absentee ballots for a write-in candidate. Investigated, a hearing was held. A minor infraction, dismissed. Also, a handful of nursing home complaints, always with the nursing homes, that I checked into that didn't add up to anything nefarious at all. So for the past decade, I found no evidence to back up any allegations that the PAC was cheating. They've made mistakes, but this is not a group that's committing election fraud. And yet, all the accusations and rumors have built on each other very effectively. Right up to the 2018 congressional scandal and state hearing, where the PAC got publicly chastised, even though most of the 4 days of testimony were related to McRae's operation. The few specific claims about the PAC that were made during the hearing weren't any more verifiable than what I'd heard about from Ray Britt or anyone else in Bladen. Months after the hearing was over, I went to the investigators and the prosecutor to see if I was missing anything. Was there anything else that made them suspicious of the PAC that I didn't get a chance to see? Nope, they told me. And the prosecutor, who's still working on this case, is not investigating the PAC at all. She told me. But there was still one weird thing left that made me suspicious or curious. And it ended up making me feel like the diabolical thing about accusing someone of cheating is it can be awfully hard to prove that they don't or they never did. It was the moment when Horace was asked to stand at the hearing, when Lisa Britt was testifying. Lisa Britt, by the way, no immediate relation to Ray Britt. But anyway, Lisa Britt was McRae's stepdaughter and testified longest and most compellingly about McRae's alleged cheating and her own. The fake signatures, the filling in ballots, the transporting of ballots. And you might remember this from the prologue. At one point, Lisa Britt says Horace was working with McRae, that she saw Horace in McRae's office, and the two men spoke on the phone repeatedly. And then, murder trial style, the state board asked her to point him out in the crowd.
Can we get his name, please, for the record?
The gentleman's name is Horace Munn.
Are you Mr. Munn?
Yes, sir, I am.
All right, thank you, sir.
Horace, of course, denies all this. He told me he did not work with McRae, said he hadn't spoken to McRae in years. So then I asked around, did McRae and Horace work together in the 2018 election? It baffled everyone in Bladen County. Even Republicans, like, I don't think so. That doesn't make sense. I asked a woman who actually worked in the office with McRae during the campaign, and she said no before slamming the door. Over the last 2 years reporting this story, I asked McRae over and over again for an interview. And he always very gently said no. But one day last summer, I finally got this out of him.
I wouldn't even know Horace Munn's phone number, to be honest.
And?
But I can tell you this, Horace Munn has never been to my office.
Ask me your questions, and this is our last and final interview, correct?
It wasn't, but I told Horace I was probably done asking about cheating allegations against the PAC, and I'd recently found out this final bit of information. I told him what McCrae had said to me about not working with him. Horace's response to this revelation was pretty much, duh.
If you're innocent, you're innocent. I mean, so, but I wanted you to find out and research it, get your answer, not from me, from someone else. And he had a choice to tell the truth about it or lie about it. So he told the truth. And I knew he would.
I still don't know why Lisa Britt said that. I think that's confusing.
Because I think there's another person that was there, and to white people, black people look alike.
Horace thinks Lisa confused him for another black man. I tried to ask Lisa about this, but she didn't want to talk. So, could be. I've spent most of my time working on this story, chasing the ins and outs of cheating accusations against the PAC, at the same time as the country has been blowing up over accusations of election fraud in the 2020 presidential election. And it's been weird, like seeing the movie version of a book I've already read, lots of different characters and scenes, but I knew where it was going. I was alarmed from very early on at the drumbeat from President Trump and his supporters about cheating. It wasn't just that Trump often singled out majority black cities or polling places as sites where cheating was supposedly happening, though he did that. It was that a lot of people seemed to think these cheating accusations would all fade away if courts and public officials looked into them and found they weren't true and said that in public, or that it would go away if Trump lost, or once Biden came in. Or even now, I just think lots of people think this belief in widespread election fraud will fade away with just sheer passage of time. But what I know from Bladen is this. In the right circumstances, once accusations have been repeated enough times, they're stuck. You can't unscrew the lid. It only goes in one direction, tighter and tighter. You know the line I keep saying at the beginning of every episode? A true story about election fraud. What I mean by that is that actual election fraud, when it happens, it's usually small, self-contained, relatively easy to catch. But accusations of election fraud, those linger and grow. So the true story is that the suspicion of fraud can affect people way more directly than actual fraud, which is rare. The reason Horace called me down to Bladen County to begin with was not just to exonerate his PAC, but for me to understand why they'd even been implicated at all, to see how hurling accusations at the PAC, creating suspicion and distrust of his organization, helps their opponents. In a place where accusations of election fraud have been used for more than 100 years to keep black people from voting, that's not some kind of coincidence, Horace says. That's what still happens here. That's what I've been trying to tell you. An article, he'd said, about the South in Bladen County. And so far, this story, the story I've been telling you, this is the story Horace wanted me to tell. But the rest of this story, what happened next, and just how the cheating accusations would weaken the PAC's strength, I don't think Horace saw that one coming. Because while Horace has been focused on the threat from without, the accusations were starting to cause a rot from within. That's next time on the Improvement Association. The Improvement Association is produced and edited by Nancy Updike and me. Neil Drumming is our managing editor. Julie Snyder is executive editor. Additional editing by Sarah Koenig and Ira Glass. R.L. Neve is our editorial consultant.
Fact-checking and research by Ben Phelan. Music supervision and mixing by Phoebe Wang. Amy Padula is our associate producer. Inde Chubu is the supervising producer. Original music composed by Kwame Brant Pierce. Additional support from the staff at This American Life, including Emmanuel Berry, Julie Whitaker, Cassie Howley, Seth Lind, and Francis Swanson. At The New York Times, Sam Dolnick, Lauren Jackson, Elizabeth Davis Moore, Elena Serro, and Nora Keller. Special thanks to Gary Bartlett, Michael Biesecker, Emery DeLazio, Matt Dixon, Ginger Eason, Lauren Freeman, Jerry Lassane, Jen Nelson, Nick Oxner, Kim Strack, Charlotte Smith, Jeff Smith, Eddie Vai, Billy Ray Ward, Mike White, Mark Maximov, and Jessica Weisberg. The Improvement Association is produced by Serial Productions in the New York Times.